Hi everyone, welcome back. So today's episode is non-existent, but I thought I'd feature something that I am a part of, and that is the Pacific Wave radio show that is on 98.1 FM every Thursday at 4 PM. The show is targeted to the Pacific youth here in Brisbane. Early last month, my friend Kamaya hit me up and asked me if I wanted to be part of it. But initially, she asked me to come on to be interviewed about Queer Coco, and yeah, look at us now. I've been on 4 episodes, so if you want to check out those, you can actually check them out on the 4EB website, and if you're not in Brisbane, you can listen to Pacific Wave on the TuneIn radio app, and that streams 4EB live, so yeah, you can do that. But without further ado, here is Pacific Wave.
Kia ora ana e kia mana mia.
Bulawanaka.
Kia ora e te iwi.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
Whakalo falahi atu ki motoro osi.
Nisan bulawanaka.
Kia ora ana gire.
Malo e lelei.
Nisan bulawanaka.
Malo e lelei. Talofa.
Sanu falama.
Kia ora.
Malo e lelei.
Nisan bulawanaka.
G'day beautiful people.
No matter what language you say it in, it means welcome. Welcome to the islands of Brisbane's weekly PI youth show, Pacific Wave.
Lover, Malo Lele, and welcome back to Pacific Wave on 98.1 FM 4EB radio. It's your girl Kamaya, and Bella is here with me this afternoon. Hi.
Why is mine higher? We're back to deliver the latest Māori and Pacific music, as well as keeping you up to date with the latest news and local events. We'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we live. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this is, was, and always will be Aboriginal land.
So today we'll be playing new music from Sweets Music and Creed the Kid. And we're also joined today in the studio with Herman Anderson, an up-and-coming photographer, and Ben Torvale, who is well-known in the dancing and choreography circles here in Brisbane and abroad. But in the meantime, let's kick off the show with some smooth sounds from Aotearoa. It's LAB with In the Air.
You
Hi everyone, so welcome back. We're joined here by the talented Herman Anderson.
Thank you.
And Herman is an upcoming photographer, and I did find him on Instagram, and we've done a shoot before. So did you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. So, hi, I'm Herman. Me and Bill actually met through Instagram, and we did recently actually get some promotional photos done for his podcast.
Thank you.
Plug.
They were amazing, by the way.
The makeup was so good.
Some unknown.
Shout out to Kamaya.
Now, everyone, if you haven't already followed Bele on Queer Coco, what are you doing with your life? Go follow him and you'll see his latest content is the shoot that we did with Herman. And honestly, your edits? What the heck?
I know, like, my skin flawless.
Look, I did in fact have to like outsource a bunch of the editing to Bele because he is, you know, very, very much more trained in the Photoshop ability section.
No, it's just the background. No. But my skin looks flawless.
Oh, right. Glass skin. The makeup artist did such an amazing
job. We're just all gassing each other up. Like,
this is not planned at all.
No, so Herman, where are you from? Like, what is your cultural background?
So I'm Samoan, born and raised in Wellington, New Zealand, actually.
Oh, wow.
I'm brought up in Australia.
Cool. And whereabouts in Samoa are your parents from?
So, mum and dad are both from Savai'i villages. Mm-hmm. Dad is from Fusi and mum is from Awala.
Okay. Mm. I've got no idea where they are, but yes. Yay!
Yeah. It's this far from Salelonga.
And do you have a very big family?
Big in comparison to, like, Balangis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But kind of like just average size compared to someone.
Yeah.
There's 7 kids in my family.
Oh, yeah, so it is a small family.
Yeah. So tiny, man.
Mostly tiny. Girls, though, hey?
Yeah, so we have 4 girls and 3 boys.
Okay. How did you start with your photography? Because I can see that you're, like, just starting to get out there. Tell us about that.
So with the photography, I actually started it because I wanted to make a YouTube channel. That was a flop because I could not bother looking at my face all the time and editing through it. So I sat there after I gave up on my YouTube dreams and I was just like, what am I going to do with this $600 camera? So I dragged my brother to like a laundromat and we took a bunch of photos there at like 3 a.m. And so from there, that's kind of like where it started.
That's actually really cool.
And how did you learn like everything that you know? Because your photos are so good.
I learned everything that I know through YouTube. So I find like a bunch of like tutorials. I look up Lightroom edits and I kind of like, not plagiarize, but kind of just like pick what I like from them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I kind of like piece it to what I do.
Like that's how you learn. It's not, I really don't get it when people get angry about like sharing tips and saying, oh, you copied that person or you copied that person, because it's just inspired by, like, you've got your own flair to it.
Yeah.
And you need to start somewhere. Like, you can't just all of a sudden know how to use it.
Mm.
And
right off the bat.
Yeah. So that's really cool, because I learned makeup self-taught as well. So I didn't go to any formal training. I just watched a whole lot of videos while I was bored on maternity leave.
And it's free.
Yeah, and you can filter it to what you want to learn as well. Like, no disrespect to formal training, because that's definitely essential in certain elements of life, but like, just learning, the ability to learn something on YouTube for free is pretty cool.
Like, we're so lucky that we live in like the age where we can do that.
Heck yeah.
I'm not spending $500 for like a 6-week class on like how to do this when I could just like head over to Wikipedia.
We can do it in bed.
Yeah. Lying in my room without a shirt.
Yes.
Tell us more about this.
Just flying everywhere.
But speaking of tutorials, like, who are your favorite YouTubers?
I draw a lot of like inspiration from Jessica Kobesi from YouTube.
Oh, I love her.
Iconic, right?
Yeah.
And Julia Trotti. Oh, she's Australian.
She sounds great.
Yeah, she's amazing. She does kind of like comparisons on like editing before and afters. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff is amazing. But like inspiration wise, I love Adrian Raquel from Instagram. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And this page called Exquisite Eye. It's kind of like a mix of like the vintage and like the glamour. It's just amazing.
Mm. Cool.
So I love that kind of stuff.
What are you trying to achieve now with your aesthetic? Because I can see you're kind of moving in a different direction.
Currently my aesthetic's like all over the place. I'm trying to find a way to like pinpoint it.
Mm-hmm.
But just at the moment, I'm just kind of like editing whatever and like how
experimenting.
A lot of that. So hopefully, I'm just thinking after like what 6 months, I'll like start to like narrow down on something that I love and kind of like claim it as my own.
Yeah,
that's so cool. And what would be, who would be your dream models?
He's already had it.
That's actually a really good question because I haven't really thought of it like that. Mm. I'm kind of just like, oh, my cousins are my models. Yeah.
Mm.
I'd have to say, I feel like every like photographer's like end goal is like Rihanna.
Yeah.
Rihanna. Yeah. Oh. Especially considering how much of an icon she is with fashion.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
Mm.
Cool.
Okay, so as Pacific creators, I think we all struggle with a lot of self-doubt. And because we're self-taught, we do have that imposter syndrome. And I suffer from that a lot. Can you speak on that a bit?
I feel like that's like a really valid thing, especially like what you said, that we are self-taught. But I feel like... and I feel like you don't have to like depend on it. But what I've learned is that... the more that people like reach out and just message you and say that what you're doing is amazing, like this, that, like I'm glad that you're moving forward in like what you're pursuing. I feel like that kind of like helps settle that in my mind because I have like a bit of a struggle trying to do that myself because like you did say we are self-taught.
Yeah, and I think that is a cultural thing as well, is that especially with Islanders, we've got this whole humility, you know, drawn and built into us right from birth, and it's like be humble. But then sometimes it's like you're not being humble anymore, you're just holding yourself back. And there's a difference between boasting and, you know, actually using your talents and being proud of your talents. And I think it's really hard to discern between that, those two things.
There is such a thing as people. Toxic humility.
Like, oh, real?
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Oh, you got a t-shirt.
And we all do it to it. Like, we all like, oh, nah, like, I'm not that good. Like,
And I feel like that's like such a good thing that you guys brought up too, because even like a little bit of saying like, oh, thank you, I feel like I really did amazing there. Like, that's not something that you'd ever hear like a someone person say. And I feel like the more that we're like, oh no, it's not that good, like the more that starts to like wear down inside on like our confidence and our craft and like what we do. So that's crazy.
It is hard. It's hard just to take a compliment.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, like, I have definitely in the last couple of years unlearned that, and I'm more forthcoming with like, yeah, I'm the best, like, yeah, I do good. And sometimes I say it in a joking manner, but most of the time I'm actually good. I'm good at what I do. And and I think the more I have said it out loud, the more I actually believe it. Because like, we always gas each other up as Islanders as well, like, we're always like, nah, tell them you're the best, like, tell them you're the best. And you know, straight away we get marred and we're like, no, it's all good. But then we miss out on so many opportunities, because especially in a Balangi world, like, they want to know who's the best, and if you don't put your hand up, then they're not going to wait around for you to get over your shyness or that humility, or that toxic humility.
That's from Twitter. Twitter lingo.
Hashtag Twitter lingo. Okay, cool. Oh, well, why don't we jump to a song? Billy, you introduced this song to me.
So we have one of the boys from The Switch. It's Junes and Donnie, View From My Window.
You tonight. Yeah, I know it seems a little crazy. You got me feeling for your love on a daily.
You never find another love like mine.
I just wanna make you mine.
If you weren't tuned in a bit earlier, we have Herman Anderson in the studio with us today. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hi, I'm waving at the microphone.
I know, I was going to say, it's waving, you can't back. Wave because they can't hear, see you. So Herman is an up-and-coming photographer, super talented, super underrated. I have a question for you. So as a makeup artist, I found it really hard to go from valuing myself and charging accordingly, even though people would gas me up and be like, oh, you are really good, like you should charge more, everyone else around you is charging more, like look how much time and product you put into it, you need to charge more. And I'd be like, nah, it's all right, I'll just charge this, and feel really worried about other people telling me that it's not worth it, or I'm not at the same caliber as other people, you know, like comparing myself.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that? Are you charging people? Are you currently struggling with charging people?
I was going to say, a whole year after finally getting into the photography, I really did have like that issue of actually putting monetary value behind the work that I was putting in.
Mm.
And the first person that actually forced me into charging them was Pelle.
Nice.
I messaged him. I was like, I'll do it for free. This is my first time doing, like, a studio shoot or, like, headshots. And Pelle was like, you're not coming over to my house until I pay you the money.
Good.
It was really sweet because that was actually kind of, like, the catalyst of me actually, like, sitting myself down and being like, this is someone that actually values the work that I'm putting in. I really need to, like, start, like, setting a scheme, like, not like a scamming scheme, but like,
not a pyramid. Like,
but more like setting prices to the work that I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
And I can happily say that thanks, Belle. I finally have a pricing scheme as Yay. Well as contracts set up too.
That's awesome. And it's not uncommon. Like for Brown and Busy, for their first event, I asked Ree's photography to come and do photography for the day and asked her rates, and she's like, oh, I don't really have like rates for an event, I've never done it, so I'm quite happy to do it for free. And I was like, girl, no. You're going to be there for X number of hours, you're going to be editing as well, we're going to be back and forth, like, and I'm that kind of person that will give constructive feedback and say, hey, do you think you could make this lighter, or you know, and within reason. So really, I was like, no, you need to actually sit down and think about how much you want to be reimbursed for your time and the product, because I see value in it, and that's why I've asked you to do this job, and I'm quite happy to pay you. So I'm really glad that you took that on board, because it's a big move. Like to actually say, I'm worth being paid.
Yeah.
You know, my work is worth being paid. Yeah, so what do your family think about the line of work you're starting?
Look, my dad does not know that I... doesn't really have, like, an idea of, like, my photography stuff.
Yeah.
Mom kind of has, like, an idea. I, like, pull her aside because it's common that the fuffa son is kind of, like, closer to the mom.
Yeah.
So mom gets to see a lot more of my work.
Mm-hmm.
But she hasn't really seen it as like something that I'd be pursuing professionally.
Yeah.
Mm.
She's seeing it as more as like something like, oh, it's a hobby that he does on the side.
Yeah.
Mm.
But outside of mum and dad, my sisters and my brother are really, really supportive, like vocally supportive about it. They'll like ask about like the work that I'm doing. Like instead of like small talk, like, how's your day? They'd be like, oh, how many shoots have you got lined up this week?
Cool.
Like it's really
sweet.
Yeah.
And you do that on top of your full-time job as well?
Yeah, she is. She has two jobs right now.
Oh, get it. I feel like we've heard this a lot, is the mom and dad don't know kind of thing, like our parents don't know. And I keep saying it too, it's very much a cultural thing, that especially in the arts, in the creative side of things, that's not a real job.
Arts, do we?
Yeah, it's like, where's your 9-to-5? Like, that's what we want to see you put your efforts into. Yeah, like, if you don't have something in return straight away.
Yeah.
You know, and especially stuff that's not paid. Mm-hmm. Like, it took a while for me to even convince my husband that unpaid work, like collaborations, there was an end goal.
Yeah.
You know, that exposure and all those kind of things do matter in the beginning stages as well. Yeah. Like, I'm more comfortable now at that point in my makeup career that I don't say yes to every collaboration that comes around, unless it really... Yeah, unless I really vibe with it and it's something that I really want to support.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm like, oh, there's heaps of other makeup artists out there and they would be more than willing to put this in their portfolio. At this point, I'm not happy to say yes for this. Yeah. Like, rooting for you, but sis, I need to be paid.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
That kind of thing. But at the same time, just because you're new doesn't mean you're not worth money, and that doesn't mean you need to say yes to every single collaboration that comes around, like, especially if you've already got a full workload.
Girl, oh, mood. It's like, oh, there's so many like days off, man.
And editing, like, you know, photography is not easy. Edit like slight edits with my photos and stuff that I'll post up, and it's like, even that, or editing videos and stuff, like, it's not...
Yeah, it can take hours.
Yeah, heck yeah. Mm. And people just forget that. People just think, oh, no, you just click the camera and just send me the photos.
Yeah.
What do you think about people asking for raw images?
We spoke about that as well.
Especially because your aesthetic and looking at your edits, they are like the lighting, it's very like, that's your niche, it's something different to the average click and send. So what do you think about someone asking you for raw images?
So legally, she has in the contract stipulated I will not be giving any raw images.
Tell us about an experience you've had with people asking for the raw images.
Oh, let me tell you something. I had a very difficult client one time. Not even a client, because this was a favor that I was doing for them. I took the photos, I edited the photos for them, and I sent it to them. They messaged back and they had issues with the way that I was editing it.
Mm.
But the thing is that they knew beforehand that this was stylistically my style. And I, like, subdued it a lot because they wanted it for acting profiles.
Mm.
And when I told them that this is how I edit the photos and that I'm sorry you're not happy with them, they asked for the raw images.
Oh, heck no.
I was like, let's not do that. Because the thing about that, especially with, like, photographers, is that the raw images don't represent the final product.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, the photo that you start with can be so different after editing.
Yeah.
Especially in my style, considering that I underexpose.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like jargon.
And but you do everything in post.
Yeah. So 70% of the work that I do is the editing stage.
Mm-hmm.
Only 30% is like having like the raw image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally get that.
Yeah.
It's just like with makeup, because people obviously refer services. So someone will tell their friend or whatever, like, go book with Kamaya, she did my makeup for this and that. But that person won't necessarily look at my page and see that I do natural, like natural glowy skin. Like, I want to see your skin. So when someone books in and then they sit in my chair and they're like, oh, and they show me a photo and it's like full coverage beat, like heavy contour, like cut crease, like glitter. And I'm like, oh, like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that look justice. It's like, can you just, this is my style, this is the service I provide.
Yeah, and it's your, like, specialty too.
Yeah, and it's like, I can do that for you, but at the end of it, if they keep asking for more and more, and if they, like, no one has said this yet, but if they say, oh, I'm unhappy with this, I don't want this, like, I'm not paying for this, I'll be like, cool, I'm just going to take it off your face.
Yeah.
Like, the amount.
Because
I've heard some stories where people say, I'm not paying for this, but I'm still going to walk out with my makeup. I'm like, no, girl, that's my product on your face. Yeah. Like, that's my time on your face.
Yeah.
I will take it off, and you can be unhappy
out there. Go back to your car, put on your chapstick.
Yeah. So
I can't believe that.
Like, it hasn't happened to me. I've had people obviously ask for heavier coverage and stuff, and I'm happy to oblige, but I know that it's always from referrals. I know it's not someone who's looked on my page and has seen my style and is like, man, I really like her makeup style, I'm going to book in with her there. And really stand strong to that. Say, make sure you say, like, no, you're not going to get your raws. Yeah, don't do that.
If you're so unhappy with that, I'm going to re-edit them.
Yeah.
I must send it back.
Yeah. And because you're not, if you look at your profile, you don't do mainstream family shots or mainstream this or mainstream that. Like, it's, I love your style.
So good.
I love your style.
Oh, that's all shy.
Yeah. So what kind of, what kind of advice would you give to youth listening who are kind of embarking on the same journey as you?
I feel like the biggest thing that we kind of, like, overlook, or the thing that we jump to, like, firsthand, is, like, I need to invest all this money, like, right away. I feel like it's really good for you to start off with what you do have and kind of, like, build on the editing, kind of, like, build on the base, so that it's kind of like when you do upgrade your equipment, that it'll only be an improvement upon what you already learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Totally made sense.
Tell us about, like, where we can find you and your new website.
Website.
Let's start with the website, shall we? It's just hermananderson.com. So that's HermanAndersen.
Oh, E-N.
Anderson with an E.
Anderson, you better not put no O there.
There's no O. There's no website.
Yeah. And you can also find me on Instagram. So it's hermie.anderson. Let me just get to the spelling again. So that is HermieAnderson.
With an E.
With an E, yes, correct.
On 10 Instagram. Points. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in and joining us today.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I can't wait for our next shoot.
I know. It was supposed to be next week, but...
So, guys, coming up next, we have one of my favourite songs at the moment. Legit obsessed with this song. It's called Whisper from Sweets Music. You're here on Pacific Wave 98.1 FM.
You know, the kind of girl that isn't hard to love. The love ain't giving me the sweetest rush. At home, going out, even up when she's without a doubt. The baddest girl around. Fantasies on my
want you cause of you. Let's just stop with a little groove, darling, come move with me. Three shots on the dance floor, gotta go, you don't wanna let go. Stop, ooh, turn it up a notch, ooh, come dance with me.
Move your body, feel the music, smile on your face, makes me think wonders of you.
Can I get a whisper, girl?
Can I get a little whisper from you?
Can I get a whisper, girl?
Looking my way, got me floating again. On love potion, I'm a teen. Take a special and you want a trip. You affected by the sweetest kiss.
My specialty, especially,
so necessarily for you. And everything you do,
you for me, I for you.
Girl, I know what I'm gonna do. Do you? Do you know?
Shoot, 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 shoot.
A controller, joystick, get a hold of. It's a cup that can hold it for you.
Guys, welcome back. So we're joined here by Ben Tovale from Homebase Studios.
Hello.
Welcome.
Ben is a dancer and choreographer, and we're related. So we should call this a family show now. But Ben, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I am a Samoan. I dance. I've been dancing for a few years now. 9 years. So next year will be 10 years, which is I'm very excited about.
Wow.
Just, you know, your average guy working, grinding, trying to make it. Trying to live his dream.
How did you get into dancing at a studio? Because I know like people that just dance, yeah, but not many actually go in. Right. And who should be paid. But so many people just dance and not know that there are avenues like joining a studio, yeah, joining a crew, and you know, that kind of thing. So how did you get started in that?
Back then I wasn't so, like, there wasn't much studios back then, mm, when I first started. So I started dancing in 2011, and there wasn't much like studios where people could go and join and train professionally.
Mm.
It was more so like, I would go into Sun Corp Piazza in South Bank, oh, and just, yeah, jam it out and literally just go and practice there.
Yeah.
So it was like very much like street hip hop where, mm, you could just go and dance it out. But the Homebase studios then came in later, like I think 2015?
Yeah.
2016? And then that's when people sort of got an idea where, like, oh, so this is a studio. This is where you go and dance. Like, and I think I first joined my first studio, District Studios, and they formed 2016 under AOB. And that was my first dance studio that I went to.
That's so cool.
And it was cool. And it was cool when they formed because, like, it was very new to everyone who was, like, very much around the street hip-hop, like, they would go and practice at hired studios. They didn't really have somewhere where they could
like
have...
Like a home base.
Like a home, literally, like a home.
When because I grew up in New Zealand, and straight away, just finding out about Request and Paris and the Palace and stuff, I was like, holy crap, like, people actually do this, and people get paid for it, and they tour.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first introduction to, like, crews and actual competitions for dancing. Like, how has that kind of uproar and that success in the poly world influenced you and with Homebase and anything else that you've done in the dancing world? Because for me, I'm like, Paris is so cool.
Oh, she is amazing.
I'm not even a dancer. So from a dancer's perspective, like, how does that make you feel?
She inspires the heck out of me.
Yeah.
Because she is, like, one of the most respected choreographers, one of the most respected artists, you know, and it just so happens that she's a Polynesian, like, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But the more that I sort of got to dance over the years, the more that I've sort of knew how much bigger this could be. Like, I just started dance because I liked to dance and it was fun.
Yeah.
And then as I sort of, like, over the years it progressed, like, I just, like, found out, like, oh, this could be an actual thing.
Yeah, like, and, like, you can make so much money from it.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. And Request, they were one of my biggest inspirations back in the day because they were just killing the game.
And they were, like, five when they came out.
Literally. And they had little girls, like, dancing their hearts out, and they're just, like, just full of heart.
I feel like they made everyone want to be a dancer.
Yeah. Oh,
like, everyone was doing their moves. Literally, every time you heard those songs come on, especially the Rihanna songs, like, you just start, you know, the dancers. Yeah.
That's it.
What was your first crew that you started in? Because I know we have kind of a connection with Runway.
My first crew was Empire.
Is that the one with Ella?
Yeah, it is the one with Ella. So that was my first crew. I auditioned for them in 2011 after Bring It On. Yeah. I don't know if you remember the dance
group.
The hip-hop competition Bring It On.
Yeah. They do it here as well.
Yeah, they do.
Nah, not anymore.
Mm.
But yeah, that was my first crew, Empire. And that was great. Like, that's where, that was like the start of my journey. Like, that's where it all started.
So was Bella actually any good? Or
No. I was in there before anything. Yeah. Like, we're still called Detour.
Oh my god, it was called Detour. Oh my gosh.
And then you got kicked out and it was Empire.
Yeah, no, I got tired. And then I wasn't even going to make numbers. And for my looks, so.
Just a filler.
It's alright, we'll touch on that sad story later.
How does
your family and, like, parents especially feel about you dancing and wanting to take that to the next level?
Oh man, it was so hard for my mom. It was so hard for my mom. Like, it was hard because obviously your parents expect you to have, like, a regular job, like, and start out doing this and then eventually get to where you want to be in life.
Yeah.
But when I came back, it's a funny story. I came back, my mom was at one of my auntie's house, and this was after I got the news that I made it into Empire. And then I went and I was like, I made it into the crew. And she's like, what do you mean? What? Like, what is this?
Like, what?
Yeah, she's like, oh, she was not supportive at all.
Yeah.
But as time went on, she sort of got the drift, and she saw that I loved it.
Yeah.
And, like, I could be out doing other bad things, you know, like, on the streets, and she saw that it kept me away from that.
Yeah.
So she just, like, uplifted me, and just, she sort of supported me in that way.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I'm grateful for her, like, dropping me off late nights, you know, picking me up at SoftBank when we lived in Logan, like,
Yeah. There's a lot of practice.
There is a lot of practice.
Right. And especially if you've got a crew and you're competing. Like, I can only imagine from, like, a polyfest kind of, like, perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, in Kapaka, you just practice and practice and practice until it's perfect.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine with dance crews as well, it's the same. And then you'll have, you know, getting tired and everyone's getting sloppy, but it's like, nah, we want to be the best.
That's it.
We're going to be here until we get it perfect.
That's it.
Can you tell us about one of the hardest routines that you've had to do to the state?
They're all hard. I think one of the hardest was when we went to Mexico. So last year I went to Mexico.
Oh, just casually went to Mexico.
Yeah, just casually. You know, just a quick little lazy trip. We went to Mexico for a dance competition.
Yeah.
And the year before that, I didn't do it with them, but they came first. And so they wanted to defend their title.
Yeah.
So we went ham on training and late nights and literally training until like 12 or 1 or 2.
Man.
And we'll just do whatever it takes to get it perfect.
Yeah.
I think that was the hardest because we tried to do fitness at the same time to try and like upskill our stamina, because which is one of the most important things in dance. Yeah, because you know, you want to last the whole routine.
Yeah.
But even still, like when we got up to the day of comp day, it was like still really hard to get through. But yeah, obviously like training really did help.
Yeah.
But yeah, late nights, yeah, it was one of the hardest for me, I think.
Yeah, but I think if you want to be the best, then you got to train harder.
Of course.
Like, the amount of inspirational videos and quotes that I've seen where it's like, you've got to be the hardest working person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you'd want to do is to finish the comp and regardless of where you place, think, man, we could have trained harder.
Yeah.
Like, we could have done more to reach our best.
So
you guys have got obviously some really good tutors and choreographers in the home base. So tell us a little bit about them.
So Lawrence Collette and Navani are the three sort of like main who has been there since the beginning. And so they've sort of like formed the home base, I think. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Like they, I think like they've all three of them have taught me so much about myself. And like I just have the most utmost respect for them because they've like taught me so much about myself as a dancer and as a human being. So they're amazing and they're just like so experienced. Like they have been through so much with the dance world, and so they really know their stuff. And we've even got little girls in our crew, little I mean like 16 15 13, who are starting to like choreograph dances too, and they're like making it real big. So it's like, it's cool to see the talent that's coming from all ages. You know what I mean?
Man, that's so cool. How about we take a quick break? We'll head to a song. I'd love to hear Sammy J's new latest song. It's called Someday.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah. Stay tuned, guys. You're on 98.1 FM Pacific Wave.
Someone's always coming for me. Now please don't get me wrong, 'cause I love what I do, but I am only human. I got problems just like you. Some days I just wanna get up, pack up and go home, but I've come too far to turn around and let it all go. That's not the way that I was brought up. See, I've got all of these people, and they depend on me somehow. I just won't let you win. See, I know about this music and the blessing that it is. I just can't give up now. See, I've got all of these people, and they depend on me somehow. I just won't let you win. See, I know about this music and the blessing that it is. Oh yeah, oh oh yeah, 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 yeah. I feel so privileged to have the gift of music and understand that it don't work when I start to abuse it. Now I know and go home, but I've come too far for me to turn around and let it all go. That's not the way that I was brought up. 'Cause I just can't give up now. See, I've got all of these people, and they depend on me somehow.
See, I know about this music and the blessing that it is. I just can't give up now. See, I've got all of these people and they depend on me somehow. I just won't let you win. See, I know about this music and the blessing that it is. When you wanna quit, you know you can't give in. Oh, sun come after rain, and you will be okay. When you wanna quit, you know you can't give in. Oh, sun come after rain, and you will be okay. When you wanna quit, you know you can't give in. Oh, sun come after rain, and you will be okay. Oh, yeah.
So, as you know, we're with Ben Tovale, and yeah, we're talking about his dance journey. Yeah, so I wanted to touch on, so you mentioned that you went to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Where has dance taken you?
It's taken me to a lot of places. It's made me travel a lot, and I feel like if I didn't do dance, I would just be not traveling at all,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is a good thing because it takes me places where I wouldn't have imagined. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been to LA, I've been to Mexico, we went over to San Diego.
Like,
it's taken me to places where I would have not imagined.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously those are some of the highs, but what are some of the lows that are associated with what you're trying to do at the moment?
I think the low is, it's sort of tricky trying to make it as a dancer or as an artist in general.
Yeah.
Like trying to push your artistry out there to people because obviously you're trying to make them like your content and you're trying to make them like you as an artist or what you're trying to put out there.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the hardest things, trying to keep a steady level ground of like content that you put out and like, you know, you gotta upload every week or every few days or like you're trying to stay relevant and you're just trying to stay on the wave. I think that's one of the another hard thing is like there's a wave that goes around with dance and it's like, you know, TikTok and there's certain moves that people like to see in dance, and if that's not your thing, then it's hard to sort of push it out there because there's a lot of people out there who want to see the moves that, you know, on TikTok and all that stuff, or the wave that's going around. And if you're different from that, I think it's hard to have that people behind you that will always be there to push you because your artistry is so different. I think that's one of the
I totally get that. Yeah. Like with, and because like, you know, obviously Billy, you do potties, and for me too with makeup, I also do makeup, and I found it really hard in the beginning to just trust my own niche and not to try and copy everyone else. Like it's so oversaturated with dancers and makeup artists and, you know, there's just people popping up everywhere and you're trying to stand out but still be special in your own right. Like you want people to follow you for you, but then sometimes you also want to follow the trends because you know that people are wanting those trends.
Exactly.
But then if that's not your vibe, then it's like, oh, do I do it and step outside my usual comfort?
And you sometimes feel like a sellout for like standing.
And because like my makeup style is super natural.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people would be posting up makeup stuff, like the Instagram makeup looks were really popular, and I'm like, oh, I mean, I could do that. And I had a few people messaging me too, like, oh, you always post the same looks. It's like, well, because that's my look.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what people are paying me for.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People are still messaging me for that look. And it kind of made me feel a bit self-conscious, like, oh, if she's asking for it, then maybe other people asking
I'm dying for it.
I was like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, no, but I totally get that. So how do you find it has been then, just uploading content? And do you think you still are trying to catch that wave? Or
Of course. Always. I'm always trying to catch a wave. But I think I'm guilty of following a wave when I know I could be uploading something that's truly me.
Yeah.
Like, I could totally say that I've uploaded stuff that I didn't want to, but it's there because I know people will like it.
Yeah.
I know people will share it, and because like this is what they've been seeing everywhere, so they're gonna share this because Ben's doing it now, or like, or Lawrence is doing it, or Colette's doing it.
But at least, how are you going to build a platform as well mm-hmm. unless you get noticed first, yeah. you know? And sometimes sure. we do have to conform a bit mm-hmm. to get noticed before we can go, okay, guys, this is actually what I'm really about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the real people will stay behind and follow. But it does suck to kind of lose followers when you yeah. start revealing what you are truly about. Mm.
Yeah. And it's actually a real thing, like, trying to keep an Instagram relevant, like it's an actual thing, like people take it so seriously. I saw this video on YouTube where he's like, how to stay relevant or how to keep your content on track, and it's like he has certain days where
times to post
to post, or
I didn't wake up at 6:30 this morning to post my photo. I did not.
Did you not?
Didn't schedule that.
It's actually really cool. It's like a real thing. I'm like, wow, people take this so serious. But hey, like if it gets to you, like to choreograph or I don't know, my favorite artist, and
Speaking of your favorites,
who are your like major influences, like when it comes to dance?
I have a lot. I have a lot of major influences, but I think, or well, one of my number one influences has to be Lawrence.
Yeah.
What's his last name?
Kaiwai.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he is.
Like, legit.
He's incredible. He's one of my main influences. Oh, and Lance.
Mm.
Obviously, like, them two just finished up a gig at the Super Bowl. I don't know if you see that.
Which is
major. With
just
J-Lo.
Casual J-Lo.
Yeah. just a lazy.
Like choreographer. Like,
just saw her microphone.
just caught her microphone, whatever. Yeah, they're the two I could say that I look up to a lot and I respect a lot because they're both poly boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a boy. Like, I want to follow their track. And they're smashing it right now.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to be you too, right?
Oh, hopefully. Oh, I will be.
Yes.
Definitely. Yes.
What would be your plan of attack, basically, to get into that position?
I always tell myself not to hold back.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I always tell myself, like, don't hold back ever and just go guns blazing.
Mm.
I think that's the only way that I can make it somewhere. Or make it big, and I always tell myself, and that goes with everything. Like, don't hold back when I go take class, or don't hold back when I teach class, or you know, just put everything I have into it.
That's so good. Yeah. A lot of my Māori family, because I'm Māori Samoan, and one of the biggest things that they always say to us is shy people miss out. It's just like, if you don't speak up, no one's gonna know what you're all about or what you've got to say. So
they're just gonna skip over you if you're shy. Like,
yeah,
they're just gonna overlook you.
I feel triggered.
Your Māori family didn't tell you that.
Not an auntie, but I don't know.
So Ben, what advice would you have for our youth that are listening who are trying to be up there in the dancing world as well?
If you're thinking about it, do it.
Mm.
I think that's one thing that I would say. If I was thinking about dance, because when I started dance, I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I never really took it serious until a few years later. But I think I could confidently say that if I literally took it upon myself to take it serious, I would be somewhere greater right now, for sure. But because I didn't see it as something serious, I didn't know that it could make money, I didn't know that it could support my family. But now that I have that whole vision of, like, I want to do this for life, if I took it serious back then, like, that extra 4 years back then could have made the biggest difference.
Yeah.
But I took that 4 years as, like, oh, it's just for fun. Like, I just want to go dance for fun. Yeah. I like it. Yeah, if you're thinking about it, just do it. Like, always stay true to yourself and always be the hardest worker in the room.
Nice.
Always. And never hold back. Just guns blazing. Oh yeah.
All right.
That's it. And you take it year by year, I feel like.
Yeah.
Year by year.
Improve.
Yeah.
Improve.
And practice, always upskill. Yeah.
Yeah.
And practice even for nothing.
Yeah.
Like that's one of the main things that we do at home base. We train everyone at the same level. Like, even if you wanna come and join home base and dance for fun, like, that's cool, you can come dance for fun. But you're going to be training at a professional level because that's how we train.
Yeah.
And we train just for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, at the moment, we're training for nothing. We're just training.
But that means you guys are always going to be ready.
That's it. That's yeah. it. It's just all about staying that. Ready.
And if you train at a level of excellence, then that's pretty much the bar.
That's, like,
that's where you're going yeah. to be, mm-hmm. just by default.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just always going to be yeah. at that level. Man, that's oh, so sure. cool.
Sure. Love that for you.
I love that. So how can our listeners follow you and your journey?
I think my biggest platform is my Instagram.
Yeah.
They can follow me on my Instagram. It's just Ben_Tovale, T-O-V-A-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick plug. And they can follow everyone else, all the home base page.
Yeah. Do you have any shout outs?
I'll shout out Lawrence. I was mentioning him before. I was like, oh yeah, sorry, because I'm supposed to have rehearsals now. But I told
your
him
rehearsals for nothing.
No, rehearsals just for nothing, just for spare time. Yeah, I told him that I told him about this interview, and I was like, oh, can you just plug me, please? Please, please, just a quick plug.
Please, because no one knows about me.
And just shout out to everyone that's trying to make it. Hard out. Because it's hard out here.
Indie streets.
Indie streets.
In the ghetto.
For sure, in the ghetto.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks,
today.
Man.
We look forward to seeing you out on the big stage catching J-Lo's mic.
Yeah, that's yeah. it. Maybe catch her. No, we will.
Let's go.
Let's go. Always.
Make sure you guys tune into Ben's Instagram. That was at Ben_Tovale. And have a look at Homebase's Instagram as well. Maybe join in the crew and train at excellence level.
Sure.
Okay, Bella? Don't forget to tune in to the other Pasifika shows on 4EB, including Māori, Kuki, Samoan, Tongan, Fijian, Niuean, and Tokelauan. We can't forget Frosty and Shana as well from the Fresh Crew every Thursday morning from 6 to 8 a.m.
If you'd like to get in touch with us to talk about the show or share your upcoming event, hit us up on our socials. It's Pacific Wave Radio on Facebook and Instagram.
Guys, if you want to follow us on Instagram.
If you'd like to get in touch with us to talk about the show or share your upcoming event, hit us up on our socials. It's Pacific Wave Radio on Facebook and Instagram, or send us an email to pacificwaveinfo@gmail.com.
So till next Thursday, wear your seatbelt, say your prayers, and be kind to each other.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.